Some top people at Wells Fargo agree to disgorge. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Under pressure to sell customers multiple products, Wells Fargo workers opened as many as 2 million accounts or lines of credit in customers' names without their permission. Now the company has announced a clawback. CEO John Stumpf will forfeit $41 million worth of shares and his salary is on hold. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is following this. Lewis, why is this happening now?
That is a good question, because a lot of the details of this scandal have been known for a while. Wells Fargo finished up its own internal investigation in 2015 and fired thousands of lower-level workers. But a few weeks ago, there was news of a federal settlement, and that brought a bunch of new attention to this. Professor Devesh Sharma at Kennesaw State University in Georgia says there are a few reasons why the clawback would happen now.
One is there's a lot of pressure not only from the media, but from Congress and the senators.
A Senate hearing last week focused heavily on how executives will pay for this, and tomorrow Stumpf goes in front of the House Financial Services Committee. On top of that, former workers filed a federal class action suit this week. There are workers who say they were fired for not participating in the false account scam or for whistleblowing.
So Mr. Stumpf sacrifices millions in shares. He keeps his job for now. Any other management changes?
The executive in charge of community banking, Carrie Tolstedt, is losing her job with no severance or retirement, and the board is clawing back $19 million in shares from her. She was already planning to retire in December, but this is like, also, you're fired, while she's on her way to the door. And as a reminder, the Dodd-Frank financial reforms made this whole clawback thing possible. Executives can have their bonuses rescinded just for knowing about bad behavior, even if it wasn't their own.
All right, Lewis, thank you very much. Now to new data on racial bias in one key profession, preschool teachers. The analysis is from the Yale Child Study Center. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein now on the way teachers view African-American boys compared to other peers.
Researchers tracked the eye movements of classroom teachers to see which students they watched more closely. Yale child psychiatry professor Walter Gilliam discovered there's a lot of implicit bias, even in preschool.
Our teachers expect black children and expect in particular black boys to misbehave. So they spend a lot more time looking for misbehavior in those children.
Black children are more than three times as likely as white children to be suspended more than once from preschool. Gilliam says some of that disparity has to do with issues like poverty and hunger. Dan Lowson, who runs the Center for Civil Rights Remedies at UCLA, says the Yale study helps him understand a new piece of the so-called school-to-prison pipeline that begins to trap young black men even at the age of 4 or 5.
There's a tendency to think of kids as the problem, or we just need to blame the parents. I think this study shows that the adult perceptions are infected by negative stereotypes of children and their families.
Lowson says this work shows the critical need for training to help teachers identify their own bias. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Key theme in the presidential race is which candidate can create more good jobs for Americans. In some cases, manufacturing jobs that went overseas might be lured back. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore now on the complexity of repatriating factory jobs. His piece begins in Baltimore.
Meet a man who has brought back 30 jobs from Asia.
Matt Turpin with Zentech Manufacturing. We're an electronics manufacturer in Baltimore, Maryland.
Zentech is a high-tech manufacturer for a lot of different companies. There's an assembly line robot whizzing away in the background there. So why did it make sense for his clients to transfer jobs from Asia back here?
The level of automation has just increased dramatically. So what used to take 2 hours, 3 hours, now can be built in under 10 minutes.
If your products don't require much labor, then cheap Chinese labor isn't that important. Also, labor in China isn't so cheap anymore.
The price of labor has gone up in China.
The reason that jobs can come back, automation, is the same reason not many jobs are coming back. And here's the elephant in the room when we talk manufacturing jobs. Manufacturing as a sector is not in some kind of crisis.
The absence of strong growth in manufacturing employment doesn't mean that U.S. manufacturing is doing poorly.
Gordon Hansen is professor of economics at UC San Diego. There are fewer jobs, but we're still making stuff, and plenty of it.
U.S. manufacturing production has held its own. It's been a pretty stable share of the U.S. economy over time.
But given all that, if you ask academics and business people what it would take to create even more manufacturing jobs, there are a couple things you hear a lot. One is regulation. Nick Bloom is professor of economics at Stanford.
So occupational licensing, healthcare regulation, health and safety regulation, all of it is very well intentioned, but you know that mass of red tape is stifling new businesses.
The other thing you hear a lot of is less obviously related to job creation.
Focus on STEM education.
Zentech's Matt Turpin again. STEM education is in science and engineering to prepare people for high-tech, automation-related jobs.
Because we don't have a skilled workforce, we're not going to be able to meet the needs of industry as it goes forward, and they're going to go overseas.
Translation, the future's here. Train for it. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
SpaceX and Tesla man Elon Musk is putting a rough price and rough time frame on human beings on Mars. Maybe 9 years from now, 2025. How much? Musk reckons we could pay something like $200,000 for the trip. The cost of the typical house in America last month, $284,000. Here's Musk at the International Astronautical Congress yesterday.
It gets to the point where almost anyone, if they saved up and this was their goal, they could ultimately save up enough money to buy a ticket and move to Mars. And Mars would have a labor shortage for a long time, so jobs would not be in short supply.
That's the personal finance side. On the existential side, in Musk's view yesterday, Homo sapiens have an eventual choice. Stay here and face what he calls some extinction event, or become a multi-planetary species. Some of us would add a third option, stay here and don't screw it up. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.